The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Quentin Yates, Pablo Torre, Kevin Blackstone, and
I'm back.
Bill Plaschke's with us. There will be five for the Giants and Dodgers. And woohoo, just to remind you how we got here, Plaschke's with us. All right, let's go. Come on. You know, I mean, you said it wouldn't even be close, though. I mean, we're going to the decisive game five here, Bill.
Game five will not be close.
How the Dodgers staved off elimination and beat San Francisco last night was Walker Buehler putting the foot attached to his leg, festooned in those gloriously tight pants, points for everybody, putting that foot down, all right? Short rest, big time performance from Buehler. And what do we have now? We have a decisive fifth game. But what do we have in Plasma One? We have a panelist who would never jump to a conclusion, never flip to the last page of a book before reading the whole thing. A man who plots for all possible outcomes, not dependent on his surroundings at all. No, Bill Plaschke. Welcome back. I'm happy to have you back.
I am stressed out, Tony. This is unbelievable. 131 years, 2,539 games they played here. I can't wait. Tony, I can't wait for game five. I can't wait. Why are you muting me? I can't wait for game five.
I didn't even get to ask you a question yet. You just assume. Go ahead, please. I'm loving to hear what you're going to say here.
This is tremendous. This is the greatest things in baseball history. Dodgers, Giants playing for it all. The Dodgers have the advantage clearly now. They have the momentum. Julio Urias, they've won his last 12 starts. The Dodgers have won two elimination games in the last 2 weeks, five elimination games in the last 2 years. A lot of the Giants, and they were played in an elimination game. The Giants are, I tell you, they're better than I thought they were. They're a really good team, and I give them full props. But their journey, what are you laughing? I'm admitting that they're better than I thought they were. They're actually a really tough team.
Yes, but yes, where you been? They won 107 games this year, Bill. They won 10 over the Dodgers 9 in the regular season. Well, I guess Bill just decided we're going to ask who's got the advantage in this series now that L.A. tied it last night.
Yes.
Kevin, you want to join us?
Is that what the question
is?
Sorry, I forgot from the start of this. So who's got the advantage tonight? Well, clearly the Dodgers still have the advantage. I mean, all the talent on that team, the injuries that they overcome, still 109 wins, matching the Giants. And so, yes, of course, they're going to have the advantage. But if I'm not mistaken, Bill, Logan Webb, who's on the mound for the Giants, looked pretty good against the Dodgers earlier. 7.2 innings, 10 strikeouts, really sharp for a young pitcher. It looks like unless the Dodgers can really get him off his groove, maybe make him throw a lot more pitches than he wants to pitch, that could be a problem for him. Of course, the other problem for the Giants, though, is the rest of the pitching staff, because it looked like they used everybody but Juan Marichal last night, right? So they're going to be up against it. I give the advantage to the Dodgers, but I'm not taking anything away from Logan Webb if he can perform like he did in game one.
Pablo Torre, join us.
Yeah, look, it's easy to laugh at the Giants. They used 22 players in last night's game, 8 pitchers. It was like one of those big finales in a Marvel movie, except I knew none of who the people are. Like, it was the exact opposite in that sense. But here's the thing with the Giants and those pitchers that KB was alluding to. Yes, they have a lot of guys who are struggling right now, but they have 3 pitchers in particular that I think will focus really, really importantly in on this game, because in Rodgers, in Duvall, their closer, and in Webb, they have 3 guys that the Dodgers have yet to score on at all this series. So the question is, how much can those guys get innings in this pivotal game? I think that's going to be the strategy for the Giants, and that should, I think, pay off.
And Clinton Yates.
Bill, they're better than you thought that they were. Where have you been all of August and September when the Dodgers were streaking like crazy and couldn't make up a game on the Giants?
They were beating the Diamondbacks. They were beating the Rockies. No.
The games all count the same. And you can look at it. You can look at it right now is why that matters. Is because, hello, the Giants are at home. This, to me, means that you have an advantage by default when you're playing a baseball game. That said, I think the Dodgers are in an extremely good position with Gavin Lux. Every single time that guy started a game since August, they're 17-2. They play better. They play a run better with him in the actual lineup. So they have a chance here, obviously. But for two teams this evenly matched, I'll bring it down to home field because that's when you get a chance to win for sure.
There's a stat out there about teams who score first in this matchup. Clinton, you don't really subscribe to that, it sounds like.
Not particularly. I'm not really going with that. These teams are just too close in talent. And overall, you know, Max Muncy's gone. There's injuries on the other side. This is going to be a good
one. Lasky, I'll let you get the last word here.
Well, the Dodgers, Mookie Betts is betting over 400 in elimination games. Cody Bellinger showed up. Justin Turner is a big game player. The Dodgers have played, they just play too many big games. They're too deep. They're too experienced. The Giants are great. They're a real fun team, but they're too young for this moment. They need to win in stages. The Dodgers have been here before. The Giants haven't. Dodgers win.
Clinton, thank you very much for saying it. People say things like, oh, they're better than I thought. Or Pablo, you said it yourself. I don't even know these guys' names. That's on you, Pablo Corey. That's on you, Bill Plaschke. You're going the wrong way. We'll move on. Let's talk America's team, the Houston Astros. Just rolling Chicago out. So the plucking of Abreu, the talk that there was sign stealing, it's all over now. But La Russa was steamed about the hit by pitch. He has all winter now to de-steam. Clinton, was there anything there? And then also, is Houston proving to you that they are who they thought they were?
No, there's nothing there. This has big, grumpy old man energy with Tony La Russa yelling about things in terms of what actually happened that matter. It's not that, okay? The issue is that the Astros are simply a better baseball team right now than the White Sox, whose pitching did not show up. People forget because of the cheating scandal and all these things that have happened, Astros are still a very, very good baseball team, and they proved that. So Chicago's got some ways to go, but worrying about this, guys getting hit when the season's over, you got bigger things to fix right now, La Russa.
Pablo, you want to start on that little hit by pitch or the sign stealing back and forth?
Yeah. No, Tony, I loved La Russa Wilbon waddling as fast as he could out to home plate to contest this. That was delightful. But ultimately, I do agree with Clinton that there was no logical reason for this to happen. I mean, Kendall Graveman got traded to the Astros at the trade deadline from the Mariners, right? This wasn't like a guy who was steeped in any of the bad Astros culture, allegedly. And beyond all of that, right, the Astros just scored 8 runs a game. They just destroyed the White Sox. The White Sox had the best ERA as a team in the American League over the season, and they got blown up because the Astros, to Clinton's point, they made 5 conference finals in a row, right? I mean, this is something, conference series, excuse me. My sports are messed up. But the point is, they're really good, and we should respect them for it.
Kevin Blagestone.
Well, that's the bottom line, Pablo. This is number 5 in a row in the championship series. It is like they are a fixture. You can hate them because of what they did, because of the trash cans, but you know what? They continue to roll. They bring in, they get a new skipper in Dusty. Didn't want this job, just wants to be in baseball and do what he does best, and look what he does with this particular team. And the core of that team that everybody likes to hate is still there. Altuve, not batting as well as he once did, but made a big difference last night. Bregman, Correa, this is basically the same team, and they continue to dominate their half.
Plaschke, did the Astros prove that they are who they thought they were? Even though everyone wants to point a finger at them, they are still the team that they thought they were.
Well, you know, I'll never respect the integrity of the Astros as long as they have those cheaters on the team. However, I will say they are a lot tougher. They are really a tough team. I gotta admire their toughness. I've been there, Dodger Stadium, when they came into play. These guys are harassed and jeered, and the cry of cheater, cheater, every time they take a step anywhere on the field, these guys. It's unbelievable, and yet they continue to perform. 18 of the 31 runs in that series were accomplished with 2 outs. They're a clutch team, and Correa, especially Correa. Correa runs around the bases holding his hand to his ear. I mean, Correa, he's inviting all the torment, and they're every bit as big as all the abuse they're taking. Again, I don't admire their integrity at all, but I love their toughness.
KB Becky.
Yeah, I mean, they have not run from their status as villains. In fact, they have embraced it and wrapped themselves in it. And as you have said, Bill, I mean, they have invited this criticism, and they seem to enjoy to put it back in people's faces. It's an amazing turnaround.
Yeah, I respect the fact that they're this good. The indictment really is the fact that if they're this good, why do they ever need to do any of the things they did? That is a fair argument. But in terms of the team on the field, with so few guys left on this team who were there in 2017, I give them a lot of credit for what they're pulling
off. And see why.
This is what the leadership of one Johnny B. Dusty Baker provides you. This guy has been around this game long enough to teach a team like this how to stay mentally prepared. It's why he was the best hire and why he's taken five teams to division titles so far in his career.
One more story here. It was a moment last night. Josh Hader versus Freddie Freeman. You could just watch this matchup forever. You knew it was going to be huge, and it's what both sides wanted. But Freeman winning the battle. The eighth inning go-ahead series-winning home run, because three outs later, Atlanta knocked Milwaukee out and advanced to the LCS. Pablo, did Hader blow it by going after Freeman like he did?
I mean, Hader, Tony, threw a slider. He's the second lefty Freeman has ever to hit a home run off of Hader, period. The fact is, Hader hadn't been scored upon since July 28th, I think. It's all something that was going to happen at some point, but the timing was terrible. I think the bigger story here is the fact that the Brewers hitting under 200 on the series, under 100 in terms of runners in scoring position, this was a bigger problem for them than just that one.
It was a very well-pitched series. Clint Yates, you saw that matchup. You get excited about that matchup, Hader versus Freeman. How did Freeman win it?
I would qualify it as big on big, and I think that he thought if he dials him up a fastball and he runs into one, the chances of it going out are a lot higher than him going oppo on a slider. Freeman got that pitch. That was simply a great piece of hitting matched up against him. So he's only the second guy. I mean, he's the only person that's ever gone out on him twice from the left side, never mind the second guy to do it overall. So to me, that's just a matchup of two power players and one guy got
Lashke.
You guys know who the first lefty to homer off him was, don't you? Cody Bellinger. He'll be back in Atlanta next week for a replay of the
okay, yes. I'm
just bringing it up. But I was very – you know what? This whole thing is all about Devin Williams. If he didn't break his hand, they're great. They're great middle setup man. Hader would not be pitching that situation. Hader overthrew the ball. I think this all goes back to the minute Williams broke his hand, the Brewers.
That was a big loss. But hitting in this series was nowhere to be found for Milwaukee. Blackstone, last word.
Yeah, I was just going to say about Hader, you know, one of the reasons that he's become even more lethal is the fact that he's using a slider to his advantage even more and more. And this time he happened to go to it. You'd like to see him go to the fastball, but, you know, he chose his second pitch. Just got beat.
Last word.
After the horn.
Yeah, I mean, Yelich just disappeared completely in this series. And if you go 2-for-23 with runners in scoring position in a series, you're not going to win. That's the Brewers' issue right now, not with
Tony, if the Dodgers win game five, I want some of those points back next time. I want a lot of those points.
It's not that they can't win. I mean, it's just that you're saying it's over before we even get a chance to play the game. That's the problem, Bill. It's not that they're good. We know they're good. You're bleeding right now. Some Dodger blue as we go to break. Minus 10 for flat. Fire till next.
You're unbelievable.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
No one remembers the preseason record of any team. However, Lakers 0-5. Last night, first time LeBron and Davis and Westbrook got on the floor together, L. LeBron indicating it's going to take them a minute, quote, it's going to take us a minute, end quote.
It's going to take a minute.
Bill, buy or sell?
I'm buying. It's going to take them time. I'm not worried. Nobody should be worried about this. They have 11 new players. They have the oldest team in NBA history. They've all said this. It's going to be hard. This is going to be fun, perhaps fun for them down the road. But it's going to be hard stuff right now, trying to get the whole everything integrated, trying to get Westbrook integrated. They're all playing different positions, different roles now. They're trying to figure out who sacrifices, who doesn't. It'll take time. Talk to me in March.
I think everybody agrees with that, Bill. My question is, why did LeBron even feel the need to address that the preseason means nothing and it takes time?
Because it's the Lakers. My goodness. It's everything they do, every move they make is dissect under a microscope. Everything they do, LeBron, everything he does is everybody criticizes and talks about.
KB,
I don't blame him for saying
buy or sell LeBron even addressing the 0-5.
I'm going to buy it because LeBron addresses everything, whether we ask it or not. Which is one of the things I actually like about him. I like it a lot more than that green sweatsuit he was wearing. But you know what? The point is that in preseason, actually, the games that we see are less important than the practices that go on day in and day out. That's the real key. How are they doing in practice? How are they getting their work in?
I don't know if LeBron addresses everything, Kevin. Pablo Torre, buy or sell?
Yeah, I feel like LeBron is responding to this because Russell Westbrook basically came out and said, you know, if you're worried about me turning the ball over a million times, ha, 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 I don't care about any of you and what you think. And I think that's just LeBron sort of balancing the scales out a little bit. But the reality, Tony, is this. They could start 0-5 in the regular season, and I would give you the same answer. What happens to Anthony Davis and LeBron James health-wise when it comes playoff time? That's what the question is always, always, always about.
What are they calling them, Bill? 360 degrees, the big three there? I mean, the reason why it matters is because, yeah, the spotlight is on them. Expectation management is going to be a big part of what this Lakers team has to deal with game by game by game because of exactly what you mentioned. They are the big thing that everybody's looking for. So, no, I'm not necessarily worried about the basketball, but, yeah, this is definitely going to be something we're talking about all season long.
Buy or sell two.
I'm not going to be on about it.
Diana Taurasi on the lack of charter flights in the WNBA. Quote, we pay for everything. This is the WNBA and we pay for it? It's frustrating because there are people that would like to help and it's against CBA rules. So getting to game one was difficult. Getting back has been difficult. Tonight's game two, Mercury Sky, KB, we'll get to the game in a second. The league says it's corrected the issue going forward, but that was still the WNBA final started with the Mercury, as they said, not touching the floor until tip. How do you hear Taurasi there?
Well, I hear her loud and clear. I mean, I thought that this was a problem that was taken care of after the Aces got, had to fly People Airlines all the way over here to Washington to play the Mystics a couple of years ago. And you thought that it was done then and that there was some equitable treatment when it came to travel for the men and the women. And clearly still there's not, so now they're going to correct it yet again. Let it not happen again, please. The WNBA, the parent organization, has enough money to fly women on charter flights when needed.
Pablo, when you consider that the finals started with the team, and you could say competitively this is the way it should be. They got forced to a game five, but they barely gotten into the arena in time to play game one of the finals. Do they have beef?
Yeah, no. Yeah, they do. Taurasi said it herself. Like, this is why they play in Russia in the offseason. This is why they got to play internationally to make money, to actually fuel a lifestyle that is commensurate with that of a pro athlete. But, Tony, the big problem, I think, with the Mercury, it's not flights, it's runs. They gave up 17 in a row to the Sky. They gave up 24 in a row to the Aces in the last round. That's a defensive issue that they got to get fixed.
Those aren't runs. That's full-on cardio. Talk about the game for us, Clinton Yates. What do you expect game two?
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's unfortunate, too, because this is another situation where this kind of disheartening logistical setup really distracts you from a very good series. I mean, Candace Parker's out here taking her hometown team back. Kalia Cooper's having a great series. My homegirl Steph Dolson is getting it done. Like, we could be talking about basketball, but instead, the GOAT is worried about planes. That is not cool. You got to fix that.
All right, Plashke, break down this game for us. We're going to go all around the horn here on what to expect tonight in game two and adjustments. Phoenix.
Well, as I said on this show several weeks ago, the Sky is going to win the WNBA.
You did have it.
I said
when
it.
When they were 500,
I said it.
I had it. You had it.
Candace Parker's going to lead him to, but I'm so mad, and Clinton's right. Why are we talking about travel? This is on Adam Silver. NBA, if you're going to take sponsor the WNBA, take care of it, make it equitable. We should not be talking about these issues other than
basketball. I appreciate it.
I'm furious about that.
Good. We talked about it. Can we now break down the game? Kevin Blackenstone, adjustments Phoenix needs to make tonight.
Well, one thing they need to do is play better defense. And another thing they need to do is not play from behind. And they need to get Taurasi back to what we just saw her doing about a week ago, which was torching anybody who came close to her. And I think that that's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
Sky put 6 in double figures last game. What for game 2, Bob?
Yeah, no, Tony, it's the fact that there are lapses that go on for way too long. The reason they lost this game was because they gave up 17 in a row and then never got the lead back. I mean, it's
you've
the
already
hole
said
they
that.
Dig themselves in.
Yes. Well, it was a good point. You needed to make it twice. I walked them right
that's
into
my analysis. Bill's criticizing people for repeating themselves now. Really? That's where I am in my life? Sad.
Yes, I am. I am.
Flashkey. Sorry, can finish this conversation.
I'll see you after game 5.
Blackstone Yates showed out in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Blackstone Yates, good luck in showdown.
You know, there were a couple guys that were down for the count, and then were back a player or two later. And yeah, I mean, our fans aren't stupid. I mean, they're watching. They know what's going on. And but our fans thought they
look at that
smelled
guy.
A rat. I guess I don't know. So you know, they responded the way they responded.
How about that guy in the stands there, Kevin? Fair or foul for Kirk Ferentz to bring that up?
You know, it's fair, but the foul part is that this has been put on teams and coaches now with the rule. And if you want to get away from this because everybody's doing it all across the country, just make the penalty for being injured in that part of the game more severe than it is right now having to sit out a game. I mean,
This is foul. I don't even understand what he's getting at. The whole point of faking injuries is to slow down fast offenses. That's not what they run. And so, therefore,
that's
as a result of questioning the pain threshold of kids who aren't even getting paid to play, come on, dog.
No, they're not running a fast offense. Absolutely true. We'll move on. The NHL season last night. Lightning raising another banner, but took the season's first L, Pittsburgh. Then it was the inaugural game in franchise history of the Seattle Kraken. They had a start on the road. They're going to be on the road for a while here as their home arena gets just finished up. Here's how Vegas introduced them, though. Check this out. We call this Fred Gallimard, Kraken, come back from down 3-0, but lost to Vegas 4-3. Clinton, which was the better pregame, the visual battle?
It's got to be the Kraken. If you've ever been in that building, you've seen that performance. It's fantastic. They've got great uniforms. They're connected to the community well. Shout out to my man Everett Fitzhugh, the only brother who's a play-by-play guy in the NHL.
Mm-hmm. That is spectacular. I would pay just to watch the opening of a ice match in Vegas to see stuff like that. Who cares about the game this early in the season? That was an incredible production. Come on.
Yates, an incredible production for the entire show. 30 seconds of fame.
I want to give a shout-out to Earl Smith Jr., a.k.a. J.R. Smith, former NBA champion, who's now a golfer at NCAA. This guy is going back to school, and he's really made a public show of how much he's reconnected to the classroom and learning about himself. There was a funny viral moment because he got attacked by Hornets. He had a pretty good career average against the Hornets, sidebar. But overall, he's given his best, honest effort, and we love this, man. He has really done it. J.R. Smith, thank you for providing us one of the most wholesome sports stories of all year.
He really has embraced going to class, too, which I've loved reading from him. I believe he was drafted by the Hornets, right? He was drafted when the Hornets were in New Orleans.
See you when I get back.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Happy Hour is presented by DirecTV Stream.